listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the North, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
Peace and long life.
Okay.
Live long and prosper.
There you go.
There you go.
How was your week this week?
Guys, I got to have so much fun yesterday. I got to go to the inaugural Davis County Pride Festival.
Yay!
Which...
That's two months early, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, when you do a smaller Pride Festival, you have to do it early or later. Because Ogden does one as well, and theirs is in August. Obviously, Salt Lake's is in June. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't sure. Like, I kind of knew what to expect, but I wasn't 100% sure. I didn't know how busy it was going to be. So we got over to the park. It was not so busy that we couldn't find parking or anything, you know. But it was just so delightful. And part of the reason I went, not only, you know, my mini really wanted to go and really wanted to take some of her friends. And so we went with some friends of ours. We were a little worried that there might be like dipshit protesters.
Well, you were in Davis County. It was a very legitimate fear.
It is a legitimate fear, but there was not. I didn't see one protester. Everybody was super excited. And Derek Kitchen came and spoke for a minute. Misty Snow came down and she did a little speech. A Master Sergeant, I can't remember their last name, but first name was Sam. She got engaged to her girlfriend, and that was delightful. Aww. To watch. Yeah. So, and then just booths and, you know, little vendors and stuff, but it was quite an affirming day. It was a good day. So weather could have been just a smidgen nicer though, because it kept like sprinkling and then hailing, and then the sun had come out for a hot minute and then we'd get cold again. So, but mm-hmm. It was so good. I'm excited. And I hope they're able to keep it going up here, because I think it's a support that is very much needed in Davis County, specifically for our kids. Our school district has been a little bit of jackasses of recent, not even of recent, but yeah, so it was good. It was so fun. But because of that, I didn't get to come pick up any comic books this week, which was sad.
Aw.
What about you guys, though? How was your week?
Well, Jocelyn didn't show up at the store, so my week was ruined.
I'm completely. Sorry. I know. Yeah.
Completely ruined right there.
Other than that, everything else went fine. no, I got a tooth started to hurt on Monday, and then it started getting angry on Tuesday, and it's been angry ever since, and I can't afford to do anything about it. Yay! Because for some reason, when you get health insurance for your body, your teeth and your eyes are excluded.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah,
America. That was weird.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I got somebody else's
painkiller?
Antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, painkillers. No, I said it was a bad week. And and we'll have more of this on the left show yesterday, but then I watched the Utah Democratic Party that I have given almost 30 years of my life to mm-hmm. basically emoliate itself because it thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We talk about that on the left show, hopefully quite a bit. And you can
quite angrily. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get over to the leftshow.com and listen to that. But, mm-hmm. no, otherwise, no, a slow, weird weather week at the comic book shop. Just, yeah, you know, tired and stuff like that. Regular shit. How about you?
Not too much this week. I'm waiting on three pages to be drawn for issue 3 to be done. Four, if you count that I want the cover for issue 4 done as well, so I can put it in the back of the comic book. But yeah, 3 pages are all that's left to draw, and I'm waiting on them, and waiting on them, waiting on them, because Greg is in the middle of this milestone thing. So I'm having to learn a lot of patience.
You're not good at that. You don't like that.
No, I don't like that. that it doesn't work for me, especially when I just keep thinking, you know, I'd like to publish this 6-issue series before I die. It would be nice. And any delay just makes it feel like it's taking forever. But then I went and saw Doug yesterday, Doug Wagner, our friend Doug Wagner.
Doug Wagner.
Who writes Plastic and Vinyl and many other wonderful comic books. And I went and talked to him, and he was saying, well, you know, I was Yumi, which he pushed through Kickstarter when we were doing, I think, issue 2 or issue 3.
Yeah.
He said, yep, that took 7 years to complete.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, well, then I feel like an ass. Okay. I guess things take what they take. But at the same time, I still, no, it's my first one. I really want to get it pushed out there.
No, you got momentum. You got some forward movement. Of course you want to get on it.
Yep. I want to get it going. So yeah, that's been fun. Just waiting on those 3 pages. But yeah, it was delightful to see Doug yesterday, sit and chat with him for a few minutes. He was doing a signing at the nerd store.
Yeah, how was the turnout? I didn't get to go because of the Pride thing, and then Minnie had a birthday party. So
I think one guy came over to get a whole bunch of things signed, and while I was standing there talking to him and Charles, and that was a good. I was there a good hour talking to him. So I guess nobody. Maybe he got. Maybe they had a flood after that. I don't know. Because I had to bail. I had to go pick up a kid. So, yeah, I was like, all right.
Saturdays are oddly, Saturday evenings are a really hard time to get people to come and do stuff.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Fair.
But yeah, a guy came in with a stack. Yeah. And
that's awesome, though.
Doug was like, here you go. And he was like, Doug's like, sign. Here you go. So it was pretty cool. But yeah, it was.
Doug's great people. He's good people. Yep.
He's good people.
If you haven't had time, if you haven't read Plastic or Vinyl, get down to your local comic book shop and pick it up. It's honestly worth the time.
And if you can find a copy of Yumi.
It's disturbing as fuck, but...
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
This girl came up and she was asking him, well, do you write for kids? He goes, no, I don't write for kids.
No.
I write about serial killers and so, yeah, it's not for children. When she asked if he wrote for kids, I think there were 4 of us standing there at the time. We all just started laughing.
Y'all just snorted at the same time.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Oh, nice. Tracy Mangum came in as well to get his, get a book signed. And Doug pointed out that we were a year to the day from the last Wasatch Comic Con. And, you know, and Charles is standing there. So he said, so here's Tracy, me, and JC. You got Wasatch Comic Con right here now.
There you go.
Since they are not going to do a Wasatch Comic Con this year at all because of they thought they would be moving. They thought they were going to be in the middle of moving the store, which they're not. So, yeah, it's kind of. But they're having to dump a lot of money to try to get things done, apparently, for this new store plus cafe that they're doing. So, yeah.
Nice.
So no Wasatch Comic Con, which is okay. It's fine, really. It's fine.
They'll probably once we're in the new space, they'll probably do something.
They'll do a lot, like
the half years we used to do back before the pandemic.
Yep. They'll make it happen. But yeah, it's just that moment of I guess. And then Doug pointing that out, I was like, oh yeah, I guess it is about a year ago this week.
Well, last year was August.
Oh, was it August?
3 years ago was April.
It was April. So it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, me and Tracy and Doug all standing there together. It was kind of funny because we're the Utah writers, basically, creators. We're just missing Chris and Andy.
And Travis and Mike.
Yeah. Maybe it was Travis that walked in, not Tracy.
Travis, mustache. Looks like a cop.
Is a cop.
I know he is a cop. He's a police chief.
Yeah, he's a police chief.
That's Travis.
Yeah, it was Travis. It was Travis. Got the wrong name. Sorry.
Yeah, Travis Romney writes Devlin Hall and the Mighty Utahn. Mm-hmm. He'll be, for Free Comic Book Day, he'll be up at Dr. Volt's.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I will probably also be at Dr. Volt's just because I'm going to go, but...
Fair enough.
As well, I had no plans to actually be there for a signing, but I was going to be there. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I guess let's get on with the show.
Okay. News?
News.
News.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Irish saxophonist Leo Barnes, member of the Hothouse Flowers for over 13 years, has passed away. Emotional tributes have poured in for the musician who played the saxophone for the Dublin folk rock band from 1985 to 1998. That was why when you popped by the shop last night, yep, we were listening to Hothouse Flowers.
Yeah, I know. I walked in. I was like, hey, be good, be kind, be truthful, and feel free. I was like, hey, it's the Hothouse Flowers.
Yep. He also appeared on albums by Michelle Shocked, Two-Way Street, mm-hmm, and Shane Howard. Yeah, Hothouse Flowers, Twitter account wrote, every note he played blew us away. Play on, Leo Barnes, rest in peace. Yeah, very sad. Dude had a very, very nice saxophone touch.
Mm-hmm.
That you rarely hear off of a Pink Floyd album.
He left the band when they just stopped doing things. They didn't really break up. They just stopped doing things. And then Liam O'Manley went and did some other stuff. Some solo stuff. And then he wanted to put the Flowers back together. He wound up with just two other members plus himself after that.
Yeah.
Because nobody else was willing to come back. And Barnes was one of them who was like, I'm already in another band now. I can't come back. So, yeah.
It's what you get. Fuck around, find out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Robert Morse, two-time Tony Award winner and Mad Men star. I liked him on Mad Men.
I loved him on Mad Men. At first, I was a little weird. I was weirded out by him because he was the Japanese-esque guy. Reminded me of the guy. There was a colonel on MASH in the early seasons. Oh. It was like that. I thought about him that way because he had to take off your shoes before he went in his office, that kind of thing. But as they progressed, Bert became one of my favorite characters to watch. Anytime Bert was on, I was like, yay, Bert.
Anyway, yeah, he was around a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Debuted in October of 61, ran for 1,400 shows through March 65, collected 7 Tonys, as well as the 1962 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Mm-hmm. And Morse was singled out for Best Actor in a Musical.
Wow.
He also reprised the role of Finch in 67's film adaptation of How to Succeed in Business from United Artists. It's a prolific actor. Everywhere, mm-hmm, he showed up, he really put his stamp on what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. Ezra Miller got arrested in Hawaii again. I don't know what he's doing in Hawaii. Perhaps they ought to send him to Arizona to dry out.
Perhaps he needs to come home, Ezra. Aww. You need to come home. I don't know what you're doing, but perhaps you need to leave.
Yeah, arrested early Tuesday in Hawaii after allegedly throwing a chair at a woman and leaving her with a gash on her forehead. Came on the same day that Miller appeared via Zoom in a Hailuku courtroom to plead no contest to a disorderly conduct charge. And I guess he celebrated that by going out and getting ripped and throwing a chair at a lady.
He celebrated that with more disorderly conduct. Yeah.
Yes, Ezra.
We're still obituaries, right? This is the obituary for Ezra Miller's career.
Fuck, it's getting there. Somebody slapped that kid in rehab already.
I know.
Right.
Marvel launched Squirrel Girl a scripted podcast from writer Ryan North. 6-episode Sirius XM podcast titled Marvel's Squirrel Girl, the unbeatable radio show, does star Melania Vanthrob as Squirrel Girl. It's written by Ryan North, debuted across many platforms, not Google Podcasts, just in case you were wondering, on Monday. I listened to the first one and fucking loved it.
Oh, good.
Thought it was grand. We'll be downloading episode 2, I believe, yesterday as this drops. I believe it comes out on Mondays because they only had the one.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. I was pretty happy with that. Took a break from political podcasts for 5 minutes and enjoyed some of that. Karen Kusama's Dracula movie, murdered in the face right before it went into production. Blumhouse and Miramax Films were set to begin production on the film Mina Harker in just a couple of weeks. The project's now dead, sources confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter. Miramax is said to have exited, torpedoing what would have been a modern take on the mythos. Mina Harker would have starred Blindspotting's Jasmine Cephas-Jones as the title character, who meets Dracula in a modern-day Los Angeles. Kusama collaborators Phil Hay and Matt Manfredi penned the script based on Bram Stoker's Dracula. Just all. But apparently there's a shitload of Dracula in the pipeline right now. Mina Harker was one of several projects. Universal's got Renfield coming up. Nicholas Holt, Amblin Partners have The Last Voyage of the Demeter. I don't know. I you can have too much Dracula. I don't think you can have too many vampires.
No, you could oversaturate with Dracula. Although The Voyage of the Demeter sounds like a really cool movie.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a vampire on your boat. Your boat made of wood and relying on sails, and he's going to kill everyone and take over. Yeah, that sounds like a fun thriller. I would really enjoy watching that.
He's just thirsty.
Yeah.
He just wants a little something.
Just a snack.
Just needs to get just tided over.
A snack on the promenade.
It's a long trip, man.
Tided over. I got that. There you did it with the tides. You took a journey, and I followed along.
Yay.
That is it for the news.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking about the moving pictures.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Wonder. We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What have you guys been watching this week on the TVs and in the movies? That isn't Moon Knight, apparently.
Oh, sure.
Let's start with Joss. You had an interesting list this week.
I had a very eclectic list this week, for sure. So I watched for the first time ever. It's a movie that's been out for several years, but I watched Now You See Me. And that was like a delightful little heist movie. I kind of enjoyed it. It was fun.
Part two is also fun, by the way.
Yeah, I think we may have started the second one. I don't think we finished it, though. Mm-hmm. So I didn't add it to my list. But I watched that and enjoyed it. I decided one day randomly at work that I was going to put on the Golden Girls and just laughed my ass off through just the first episode. Mm-hmm. I just laughed my ass off. I was like, okay, we're going to keep going on that one. That's a good one for me to have on at work because I don't actually have to pay attention to it, but I can still catch funny things. I started a rewatch of Westworld. I couldn't for the life of me figure out why I suddenly had this desire to rewatch it, but I think it's because I know they're releasing it again. Season 4 is coming out soon.
Because of naked people. I know you.
You know me?
It's naked people.
It's naked people. It's the nakeds. So I watched that. The first, I don't know, three-ish episodes, I think. And then on the recommendation of my good friend, I started Our Flag Means Death and yet another Taika Waititi project. He's kind of everywhere these days. And as always, he's delightful. And the first episode, I was like, I'm not so sure about this. But I went ahead and kept going. And it is hilariously funny with the gentleman pirate. And just, if you guys aren't watching it, you really should try it. And give it a couple of episodes to kind of saturate in and make you go, oh, this is really funny. So that's what I have been watching this week. What about you guys?
Jeff, well, I'm only allowed to talk about half of what I watched, so
that's true.
You did go see a movie that I watched this week.
Okay, we can talk about that. So obviously Picard. This was what I like to call a wandering episode where we go from place to place. We have to get to the next set of plot points. So we have a meander there. And this was a very interesting meander. I really enjoyed it.
It was very well done, particularly the Seven of Nine and Raffi scenes as they meandered. I thought those were particularly well done. I enjoyed those a lot.
We are doing the relationship building for those two that apparently was done in between seasons.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is the Star Trek fandom likes to bitch and moan. Mm-hmm. And one little bitch and moan that I saw the other day was somebody's like, they just dropped it. Honest, you know, where was that in the first season? It's like it's nothing and then it's something, you know, and there's no development for it. And I am more of the, well, shit happens in between and I'm fine with it, but it is nice to see them building out there.
Apparently it was a quick reshoot following them going to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. They had taken a photo together hugging. And I think one of them, either Jerry or Michelle, said, look, it's the hottest lesbian couple on television. And somebody, and whoever took it was a PA, they ran to Michael Chabon, showed him the photo and said, what do you think? And he's like, yes, let's do it. And so they did a quick reshoot of just the two of them holding hands on the La Serena. And then that became the relationship, which then didn't get explored, you know, only is being getting explored here in episode 8 of Picard.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I
aside from a few jealous looks from Raffi is, you know, with 7, but yeah.
Sure.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. I liked the little moment where, you know, she says you're manipulative and then Raffi does this whole, yeah, I am. And you get this flashback to where she manipulated Elnor. Like a mom does, you know, with a, well, it's your life, guilting him into joining Starfleet Academy.
If you
want to
abandon me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was so masterfully written that Michelle just had to let it go. She just had to follow it. And it was just so beautifully written. I was like, oh my God, that is exactly, I've been in that exact situation. That is so crazy to watch somebody do that to somebody else. And then the stuff with Picard and the FBI agent, because that actor had been a Time Agency agent on Voyager.
Yeah.
And so everybody thought, oh, well, that's who he's going to be. But instead, they're like, oh, no. We're going to pull a mind fuck on you. Instead of that episode of Voyager, we're going to go to Carbon Creek.
Yep.
I was like, hey, that can't be Carbon Creek. It's a callback to Carbon Creek, basically.
Yeah, from Enterprise, like, right?
Right, from Enterprise. Yeah. But yeah, it's a callback to Carbon Creek. And I was like, oh, it wouldn't have been Carbon Creek because the guy would be ancient by this point in the 21st century.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, oh, there's a callback to Carbon Creek. That's kind of fun. And then Q, you
he's
know,
got
showing
a bunch
up
of Vulcans China. Just dropping out of the sky on Earth there for a little while.
Yep. They were like, well, this is a fascinating planet. Let's go examine it a little more. And then you had the that fun little moment with Q visiting with Guinan and Guinan showing she has more powers than we thought she did.
Yeah.
Mental projection and stuff. That was interesting.
Gave her a nosebleed.
And then the little love story with Rios was fun, too. So
yeah, it was adorable.
And Jurati is still the scariest fucking thing right now with the Borg Queen inside of her. So
who thought that Allison Pill could pull off that kind of fucking gravitas?
I know. I thought she was just this cute little thing, you know? I mean, in she was kind of a tough. She was kind of tough in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
But still just adorable, just cute as a button kind of kid, you know? And this, I was like, holy shit. You're making it work. So yeah, a great episode overall. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I really didn't have any exceptions to it. It was just fine for me.
So nice. Towards the end of last week, went and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. Saw it on Monday.
Nice.
Once upon a time, in the 90s, there was sort of a surge of these slightly surreal, weird, 10 minutes in the future kind of fucking things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Wim Wenders was good at that, stuff like that. And this is what that's sort of where I started thinking this was going to be, was, you know, a fun romp through interdimensional multiverses.
Right.
And instead what I got was one of the most touching family dramas I have ever seen in my life. That was really fucking brilliant. Michelle Yeoh and Stephanie were just delightful. Ki-Hoo Kwan, who played Waymond, the husband, was a fucking, I mean, what a phenomenon he was. He was great.
And let's look at Ki-Hoo Kwan. We're talking Short Round.
Yep.
From Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
You can still do the voice.
He was Gadget or Gizmo or whatever his name was from the Goonies.
Yep.
The kid who had all the, you know, different tools and toys. As I've been watching Head of the Class, he actually showed up on Head of the Class and became a member of the cast for the last two seasons. So, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, there he was as a kid. Here he is in Head of the Class as a teenager. And now I'll get to see this movie when I go see it. And he's playing, you know, a guy my age. And it's fantastic. It looks fantastic. So, yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis was fucking inspired as the IRS agent.
I saw on, I don't know what talk show she went on, but they showed a clip and yeah, they showed the butt plug moment where she's like, I got all these awards and they're all butt plugs. And I was like, oh my God, I have to see this movie just for this alone. This is hilarious.
Yep. Yep. It all pays off. The whole thing pays off and it's, like I said, it's got its surreal little moments. It's got that sort of a residue of Brazil from time to time. But for the most part, you know, everything is perfectly well explained. It was brilliant. It was, in some points, it was the funniest fucking thing I had ever seen in my life. And there was also some emotional shit, you know, going on. And, I mean, it just, I can't say enough good about it. It's the best movie I've seen in 5-6 years. You know,
one thing Michelle Yeoh said about it was she's so happy that they picked her because she gets to show everything that she can do.
And she could do a lot. She was so fucking good.
Full emotional range, full physical range, anything that she, any kind of role that you think, oh, there's no way Michelle Yeoh could play that. No, this movie apparently shows she can play any role. Yeah.
Any of them. So, yeah, that's what I saw. What did you do?
There really wasn't much this week, going back to talking about Head of the Class, I'm finally up to the Billy Connolly season, which is the final season. Yeah. So I'm having a great time. I did not remember this, but now that I'm watching it, I can see it clearly. Basically, when he goes in to teach the class, he gets to start with like a 5-minute monologue basically doing a comedy routine. He'll go in. All right, I'm going to tell you about my day in New York. This woman, I've never seen a woman look like this before. And I'm like, oh my God, this is one of his comedy routines. This is great. I'm having a great time. And I'm like, I bet people were turned off by this. But me, I'm like laughing my ass off the whole time because I love Billy Connolly. Yeah, it's been fun watching the Billy Connolly years. And yeah, I'll probably keep rewatching it. Though I do plan to watch their new head of the class just to compare, maybe watch an episode or two once I get through the Billy Connolly stuff, which won't take much longer. Watch Picard. We just talked about that. And then the other thing that popped up this week was Moon Knight.
In my humble opinion, another really well put together traveling episode.
Yes.
Dear Disney, what the fuck, man? The last week's episode, I wound up watching it twice in a row because my wife had to go pick up my daughter from school. She was doing tech. And so she had to go pick her up. So she had to leave in the middle. And I said, that's okay. We'll just start it again. I'll just watch it again with you when you get back. So that, because my son, she was like, well, we could pause it. My son, I was like, well, he was wanting to go do things. He's like, yeah. And she's like, well, then just watch it. I'll watch it later. I go, we'll watch it when you get back. So he and I watched it all the way through. Then I watched it all the way through again. Then I watched this week with the recap. Tell Mark to save me. Spoken by Khonshu. Tell Mark to save me. Was not in that episode. I watched it twice. It wasn't in that episode. It was only in the recap.
I swear to you. I saw it on the episode.
I swear I did not. Yeah, I swear I did
no,
not.
It was
it.
Fast. It went quick. But yeah,
it was not as clear as it was in the recap.
That is true.
If he said it in the episode, watching it twice, I never really heard him say it.
Yeah, it's quick and it's quiet.
I hear a lot of quiet rumblings, and with my ears, I'm not going to pick up everything.
See, that's why you have to watch everything with closed captioning on.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yep.
But it's perfect.
But they cranked up that one line, and I'm like, oh, well, that fucking makes so much sense now. Why he would willingly sacrifice himself in that way, you know? It was like, at first I thought, well, that's an interesting sacrifice. It seems out of character for that individual to do that. And now I'm like, oh, he has a way out. Tell Mark to save me. Okay. But this episode, the punch, the poke in the face was fun. You fucking deserve to get smacked in the face for that, Steven. The fact that they don't know about the third personality, and they leave him locked in the sarcophagus.
Yeah. It's Jake.
And they purposely go by the sarcophagus in the ending sequence, which I was like, wait, now what would have been cool? I feel like there's a missed opportunity here. If we could have had shots, like just at the end of the episode, of Steven or Mark in the psych ward, and seeing elements of that, you know, like the Steven Grant adventurer thing. Which, by the way, so Picard 2 weeks ago, Baltar.
Yep.
From Battlestar Galactica showed up to play Picard's dad, right? And here, and then I watched this one, and there's the Steven Grant, you know, Tomb Raider character, and it's Baltar again. I was like, he just showed up in two shows I watch in 2 weeks in a row.
You know what he's doing? He's turning himself into the new F. Murray Abraham.
He is. He really is.
Who is in fucking everything. He's going to be the next one. Even though F. Murray Abraham.
Like, do you want to do an episode of Picard? Sure. Do you want to do an episode of Moon Knight? As long as we don't conflict the shooting dates, I'm there.
So, I mean, I wonder what it's like at the cast party with F. Murray Abraham actually being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be
fun. And now you've got this guy trying to become F. Murray Abraham. Yeah.
Going to take your place, old man.
But yeah, it would have been cool to have a little moment of that. So we could have, kind of like with WandaVision, where we could have been like, wait, what's real here? What's really happening? But maybe they decided not to go down the WandaVision route with that, which is fine. You know, I'm accepting what they've done, but at the same time, it's like, feels like a little bit of a missed opportunity to fuck with our minds a little bit.
But a great moment between Steven and Mark.
Yeah.
Well shot. Yeah. I mean, that's some good fucking Trant camera work right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that was in, and man, Oscar Isaacs could just act the pants off of anybody.
Yeah, you can.
Including me.
Can act my pants right off.
Right off.
No, I've been in love with the guy since the Star Wars movie he did. He did three of them, but when he appeared in The Force Awakens, the first appearance of him in Force Awakens, I was like, damn, I really like this guy. I mean,
who goes first?
Dean,
me, you,
Bobby Dean could not stop talking about Oscar Isaac's character in that. So yeah, it was, yeah. What a great character. What a great character actor that he is. And I can't wait to see what else he does, you know.
With, right.
You
know,
boy, maybe someday he'll do an X-Men movie.
Hey, wouldn't that be nice? your little side drink there. That's none of my business.
None of my business. They dressed him in pool noodles, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still mad about that.
But, you know, I think he could play Wolverine, and then we just forget that he ever played Apocalypse. That'd be great. What else? Anything else this week? I haven't watched anything else this week, so I guess that's it for what we've watched. Let's do some news.
Wheel of Time Season 2 has added Harry Potter star Katie Leung, best known as the, oh gosh, I swear to God it wasn't racist, named Cho Chang in the Harry Potter film franchise. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I hate Rowling so much.
I do too.
Honestly, that sounded like such a real name, but it was missing a name, because usually there's three names. So yeah.
Oh, I believe in the middle it was Cho racially insensitive Chang.
I believe that would have been the name.
I believe that's how
that
it goes.
Been the name. Yep.
Anyway, she's going to join the cast of Amazon's Wheel of Time series for the show's second season. Which I like, because I thought she was a fine actress in those Harry Potter films. I'd like to see her do more. Like talk the way a woman would.
Fair.
Just saying.
I'm excited.
Just taking another swing at Rowling, just for fun. Netflix lost 200,000 subscribers during the first quarter of 2022. It is estimated they're going to lose a couple of million by the end of the year.
The first quarter of 2022, you mean after they canceled Cowboy Bebop? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what happened.
You know what it is? Look, and okay, I'm not a market analyst, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a fucking podcaster in a dark room. But they keep putting out quality content and then circumcising it.
Yeah.
Right.
Forcibly, with no anesthetic, mm-hmm. well into its teens. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can feel it.
Yeah.
Because, like, October Fraction was fucking great. Got very little support, very little media, and then got canceled. Cowboy Bebop, I was excited for it. I watched it. I fucking loved it. Gets canceled. This one's funny. Bright number 2, the sequel to Bright, which mm-hmm. was a good fucking movie, has been canceled. Granted, that might be more of a Will Smith problem than a Netflix thing.
That could be a Will Smith issue. Yeah. There was a time when Netflix was the place where you could discover things you didn't even know existed, you know, and new life could be breathed into shows that had been sitting on there for a while. And all of a sudden people start noticing them, telling their friends, and word of mouth gets people watching them, like Longmire, for example.
Right.
Really took off, and then they were like, oh, we can bring in another season of this.
Yep.
Their current model of killing stuff before it really gets a chance to pick and get an audience, because the whole point of Netflix is I don't have to be there opening day. I don't have to be there in episode one, you know, on day one of the episodes to watch it. I can watch it at my leisure. You know, and it can be on my list for a while. And yet they're canceling these things so quickly. It's like, I don't know who's running that part of their division, but they need to understand what their audience is and who their audience is.
We don't Okay, even appointment television, like Picard, like Moon Knight,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not watching it in a primetime hour.
No.
For both of those, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch that before I go to work. Mm-hmm. So if you're basing your ratings on this X spot of time, which they apparently are within a month, when it comes down to a series, when you're giving me a bingeable opportunity, which is frankly what I still fucking want, you got to wait for me to get some fucking time off work before I can really bite into this goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been able to binge a whole show in 3 fucking years. Well, no, I take it back. I had the COVID for a little while. I was binging the shit out of stuff back then. That was a couple months. But otherwise, yeah, I'm busy.
When you look at there are ones that get that show up, they barely get any press and they get binged like hell. The Tiger King one did really well.
Boom.
The one with the Queen's Gambit, holy shit, did really well, and it was an amazing series. But it's only ever going to be a one-time thing. I think the Tiger King thing, they were like, well, we've got some extra footage, let's put something else together. And Netflix is like, here's some money, and they throw money at them. They had told the story.
Yeah,
this follow up is just more footage. It doesn't really tell the story.
Well, and then they did a dramatic recreation of the documentary,
right?
Which people fucking watched because people watch garbage.
Yep. But when you're blast, you know, you get lucky on those. Those two you got lucky on, and they happened to hit right in the middle of the pandemic. But we sat there waiting and waiting. If Cowboy Bebop had dropped in the middle of the pandemic, we would have gotten season 2.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because people would have been there watching it because there was nothing else to do. And yet nobody's, you know, we're getting nowhere. And it's like, you've got to give us time to watch these things, Netflix. And you need to just stop. Whoever you hired from the Fox television network to run your programming, you need to fire him and get somebody in who can be a little more patient. Cause that's a Fox network move. Cause they would put a show on, if it didn't get good ratings in the first episode, it was shit canned by episode 3. I watched probably 3 different Nathan Fillion pilots waiting for him to get a show that would last.
Yep.
And he wound up getting one over on CBS with, Castle.
The CW update could spell bad news for the Arrowverse.
Or not.
Yeah, or not.
It depends on who gets the axe.
Yeah, recent reports suggest the CW may be cutting its list of DC shows in half, with Legends of Tomorrow, Batwoman, and Naomi on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. According to Deadline, the shows, along with the DC pilot Gotham Knights, are still in contention for a next season pickup. Reports indicate only 2 of the 4 projects will continue. It's basically a competition.
Yeah.
If you remember The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
these shows will be put in a room, and they'll throw in 2 broken pool cues, and they'll have to fight to the death.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You're looking at 2 long-running shows that have a big fan base, a pretty loyal fan base, but they've pretty much shot their wad long ago.
Well, and they're ensemble, so they're expensive.
Right. And then you've got Naomi is an ensemble show, and Gotham Knights will be an ensemble show, but Naomi's only had 1 season, and it's not even done yet.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and they should keep it. And if it's up against, I think it was up against Legends. And I'm like, Legends has shot its wad.
It's all done. It's been done for a while.
Yeah.
Legends was done years ago.
We're down to only 1 or 2 of the original cast still in the show at this point. And then, 2 people. And 1 is the voice of Gideon, who's now the actress is getting to be on screen more often. And then, of course, Sarah has been with it since the beginning. Everybody else who's in the original cast, gone. They took off long ago. And then the other one is Batwoman versus Gotham Knights. The answer is Gotham Knights. It could be the worst show you ever put on, but anything could be better than Batwoman right now. So, yeah.
I had a very aggressive bowel movement this week that was better than Batwoman.
I could agree with that, yeah.
Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who replacement gets an announcement window. So we don't mm-hmm. know anything other than when we're going to know something.
I like it. When is it?
I don't know. I'm reading through the article and I can't actually find it.
That's a good article then.
Yep.
It got you on it. You clicked it. You did it.
Yeah. But yeah, there's three specials. One has already aired. That's The Legend of the Sea Devils. And then I believe in the last...
Still need to see that one.
Yeah,
it
I do
dropped
too.
On, it dropped on Easter, and I haven't gotten to see it yet.
The last of the third of the specials will be The Regeneration, I believe.
Oh.
So...
Yeah. And she shot it without... She's already done. They have already wrapped all of her photography.
Yep.
So she doesn't even know who they're going to throw in there, because they can do it where she just throws her arms out and rocks her head back. And then they put in the CG, and then they can do the morphing to whoever's going to be the next one. So, yeah. So she didn't have... It's not like it used to be in the old days where you'd kind of shake hands with the guy as he went and laid down in your spot, you know?
Yep.
And with Colin Baker, he refused to do the regeneration scene, and so they put Sylvester McCoy in a Colin Baker blonde wig, laid him on the floor, and then blurred around him. But if you look, you can still see it's Sylvester McCoy before he morphs into Sylvester McCoy. I thought that was hilarious.
Upcoming DC Universe film Blue Beetle. We reported on this a few weeks ago that Sharon Stone was going to be playing the part of Victoria Cord. Mm-hmm. Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Oh,
you
no.
Fans of Total Recall. Susan Sarandon, you fans of police interrogation scenes. Yowza. Susan Sarandon, you fans of Frankenfurter movies.
Yes.
We'll be playing the role of Victoria Cord.
At this moment, Susan Sarandon is now cast as Victoria Cord. Next week, we'll give you the next actress cast as Victoria Cord.
Touch me. I want to feel dirty.
In the end, it'll be Kate Mulgrew, because she's available. Yeah.
Doing some sort of weird accent she's not very good at.
That's my Star Trek moment there. In the end, it'll just be Kate Mulgrew.
And then in the biggest news of the week, oh my goodness. Sit yourself down. Your heartbeat is about to race.
I'm ready.
Jason Momoa will be starring in a Minecraft movie.
Now I'm just confused. I'm conflicted
holes.
About this information.
Jason Momoa's digging holes.
Building stuff, fighting zombies.
Digging holes. I can't remember how that song went, but my son used to listen to it back in... fifth grade when he played Minecraft all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically news I don't give a shit about.
Is it a movie for your fifth grader? That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Because I will, even now, as I work with some Weeblos, some older Weeblos in the Cub Scouts, yeah, they all talk Minecraft.
Yep.
So Minecraft is still huge for fifth graders. Yeah, it's still a thing for fifth graders.
for fifth graders.
Yep, it's a very popular fifth grader thing. And so, yeah, Jason Momoa is going to be in a fifth grader movie. That's all.
There you go. That's it for the TV news.
All right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hi guys, my name's Gigi Edgley and I play Chiana on Farscape and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box! What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's have some comic book news.
DC will be celebrating the 68th birthday of iconic comic book creator George Perez for the entire month of June, with a special two-page spread honoring one of the most beloved figures in the comic book community. Illustrated by a multi-generational all-star roster of artists, including Alex Ross, Jim Lee, Garcia Lopez, Todd McFarlane, Colleen Duran, Dave Gibbons, Dan Juergens, and many, many more. The image features all of the DC characters Perez is best known for drawing over his career in an homage to his signature style.
When you see that layout, it is so well done, and it's so crazy to see that and go, oh, that is Alex Ross, like right next to, you know, a Jim Lee or a Todd McFarlane, you know.
Yep.
It's like, Todd McFarlane does this really cool Trigon, and then right next to it is this beautiful Alex Ross Spectre. And I'm like, damn. But when you first had it, it looked like you start looking and going, no, those are different art styles all the way across the board.
Yep.
But yeah, really cool.
Yeah, it's a really neat spread. I hope they centerfold it, but they probably won't because they're jackasses.
I'd like a poster of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Strangers in Paradise spinoff Parker Girls.
I'd love
Girls.
A poster of it because I'm a huge Perez fan. Yay!
Has been announced weeks after weeks of speculation. Award-winning cartoonist Terry Moore has officially announced that his next comic book project will be Parker Girls, a spinoff of the long-running series Strangers in Paradise. He released some covers of the first issue that you can go and find, because I'm not going to explain them out loud because that's stupid. but this is if you are a fan of Mr. Moore's, if you liked Strangers in Paradise, I have a feeling this is going to be really good. It's coming out of Abstract Studios.
If like me, you grabbed the Humble Bundle last week and downloaded every single one of his works digitally.
There you go.
Which I did. I did. I paid my 30 to the Humble Bundle and got myself a huge stack of Terry Moore books, and I'm excited.
What's the file extension on those ebooks?
It's all PDF.
Okay.
And they give you an option to torrent them or to just do really long downloads, because it takes a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was able to pull them down within an hour. I was able to pull them all down.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, when I was a kid, it used to just take an hour to download a single picture of Gillian Anderson in a rubber catsuit.
I know.
Kids these days have it so easy.
So easy.
This year's edition of DC's Round Robin Tournament is getting a major twist. The contest, which allowed fans to vote via social media about what title they'd like to see as a miniseries, is currently in the middle of its rounds of voting, and fans have definitely had a lot of thoughts on what series will come out on top. But on Thursday, it was revealed that DC will be publishing 6-page short stories for 4 of the finalists that did not make the round 3 of voting. Ghost Tour from Hell, Hawkman and Hawkwoman, The Changeling, Kid Flash, Green Lantern. I'm sorry, it's hard to see all of the colons in there. Anyway, the news was announced during a Q&A with the DC Round Robin editors. Confirmation that news regarding the contest as a whole is yet to come. So there we go.
So you can turn it into a short story. That's what you get to do. We won't actually, you know, hire an artist and that to turn it into a graphic short story, but you can write a short story, writer.
Yep.
And we'll pay you the same amount we would have paid you to write a comic book script.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's it for the comic book news.
All right. Well, today is, well, let's see. Let's talk about what we read this week. Joss.
About the only thing I managed to read all the way through. Well, I read most of the way through the trade paperback of Darkhold, which I had read most of those in singles anyway. But just a fun little, it was just something to look at, and it's very pretty and I like it. But then I also read the trade paperback for The Me You Love in the Dark. And I loved it. I will say I would have enjoyed it more if I had done it as single issues and read them as they came out. Because it would have just added to some suspense, especially like between the chapters. Whereas I sat down and just read it all the way through, which I most of the time enjoy that more. I usually like a story arc in a trade paperback more than as single issues, but this one I would have enjoyed more as single issues. So if you're going to pick it up and read it, maybe read it and then put it away for a week and then read the next chapter. Or just do what I did and read the whole thing. But it was still delightful and fun. And I actually told my mini-me to read it. I said, I think that you would really enjoy this. And it's not mature enough that she couldn't. So we're going to see if she enjoys it. And we'll go from there. But that's really all I got read. What about you guys?
Jeff?
A couple of different things. My favorite, honestly, is The Secret History of the War on Weed by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn.
Do you still have more of those in the shop?
Yes, I do.
I would like one, please.
Send Dr. Volz a message on the Facebook.
And on the Facebook? Okay.
On the Facebook. And then Braxton can get that taken care of today before we run out.
Oh, awesome. Will do.
Anyway, that was brilliant. And that came out on 420.
Yeah, baby.
Praise it! Also on 420, I went to a party. A party, you say?
What?
And I was there until the band started up, and then they made about three songs, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. But this month's issue of Salt Baked City Magazine is out at a dispensary near you. Oh, it is pretty.
Yeah.
It is pretty.
Sorry.
Laid out by a true artist. That's all there is to it.
True artist. Sorry, yes. Just doing my own plug there. And then I picked up, you see how big this fucker is?
Wow.
The Treasury version of Amazing Fantasy from Marvel Comics.
Since I never got issue number 5 or 6, whatever the last issue was, I guess I'd have to get it that way.
You could. I'll order you one if you want. Mm-hmm. This one came in mangled.
Mm.
Like super mangled. So I bought it at a discount. No, send a message via Facebook over there to the thing and make sure we've got that on order for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
So yeah, that's what I read this week. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what you read this week?
Well, so first off, we have John Carter of Mars from Dynamite Entertainment. So a book that literally had my name on it. Story's okay. The art is far too cartoony for me. Far too cartoony. I could not. There's no way I could keep reading this. It's just, maybe you're not bothered by cartoony art, but to me, I don't like it. I like illustrative style. That's what I like. This stuff that looks like it fell out of a comic strip and got like a, you know, got digital coloring. I don't care for it. Yeah. Not working for me. Story's okay. And I might not be as hard on the story if I wasn't so turned off by the artwork. The Vampire Slayer number one. Apparently a jumping on point for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series from Boom Studios. I got no fucking idea what's going on. They didn't give a recap page.
Right.
They didn't give any information. It's just like, oh, and now Willow's the Vampire Slayer and Buffy is a sidekick who fucks up all the time. Okay. How did we get here? Must have been in the previous series.
Nope.
And it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Made no fucking sense to me.
They may explain it as they go.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to find out.
That's fair.
to quote Samuel L. Jackson as Jules Winfield in Pulp Fiction, sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'm never going to know. finally, Captain America number 0. If this is what the new series is going to be like, the new double series, sign me up. That will be in my hold. Holy shit. This was good. On top of that, they got, Mattia de, Ulis to do the art. And you may remember, Mattia de Ulis from, Jessica Jones that he did with Kelly Thompson. Mm-hmm. His artwork is right up there with Alex Ross. Just beautifully, just gorgeously painted. I mean, I get this shot right, page 2. Just,
oh, it's gorgeous.
I'm like, holy shit. I can't wait to read this book. And I know Matthew DeYulis is just doing this one. He's not the regular artist, but oh my God, it was beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. And the story is solid. They're dealing with one of my favorite characters, Mr. I've Got My Face in My Chest. what's his name? He's a former Nazi.
The Zola?
Yeah, Armin Zola. So they're having to fight Zola, who's about to launch a gene bomb that will turn all humans into dinosaurs, which I thought sounded just like such a Zola thing. It was just so out there. I'm like, were you guys high when you came up with that? That's so funny. And they do it, and they you know, it's like Cap and Sam have to work their way through it. And right at the end, they're like, so are you going to be the spectacular Captain America? Are you going to be the astonishing? You could be the uncanny Captain America. I think you can pull off the uncanny Captain America.
There you go.
And then they end with just, why don't we just both be Captain America? And they're like, I like that. So now we'll have the new two new Captain America series starting. And it was awesome. So it made up for all of the fun that wasn't there in that Buffy book. And and of course, the art made up for all of the bad art in the John Carter books. So I'm glad I read it last in that little stack I had to read. I've got a big stack to read. And I've read through a few others, but those were the three I was going to review. So I read them first, and I was like, thank God this Captain America was good. Oh my God, I would have been so pissed. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week? Let's start with Joss.
So this one I asked to have put in my hold a while back when it was announced, and it is more for my mini me than for myself, but I will read it as well, and that will be The Amazing Spider-Man #1.
Back to the status quo.
Right.
Everybody
back to
hates
status quo.
Yeah.
Everybody hates him. You know, like, so Mini-Me has always been into Spider-Man. And to be fair, there has been Spider-Man her entire life, right? Like, the movies came out. I remember she was turning about 4, and all she wanted to do was watch Spider-Man, and it was the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. Mm. So she's always been into Spider-Man. She expressed an interest in reading a comic book. I'm all in getting her reading comic books. So I will be picking up The Amazing Spider-Man #1 because it is a good jumping on point for her. What about you, Jeff? Mainstream.
Thor #24 because it's still good. And then DC's put together a collection of all of their DC Pride work from last year for 2021. And I think that looks like a good buy, to be completely honest. There was a lot of really cool shit they put out last year. So
nice.
Yeah. JC.
Let's see, for Marvel. Also The Amazing Spider-Man #1. I'm curious to see JR Jr. is back. John Romita Jr. is back drawing it.
Right.
I'm like, that guy's older than me. That'll be fun to see. I'm curious about I wonder how long he's going to last on the book is the other question, because he is older than me. But looks like fun. I like Amazing Spider-Man, so that one definitely is a pick this week. From DC, Justice League #75 will finally come out. This is the death of the Justice League.
Dun dun dun.
And then a big shakeup as they do this whole crisis thing again, and then we'll see where they go from there. So it's actually the final issue of Justice League for a while. We'll see what they pull back. Also coming out from DC this week, Hellblazer Rise and Fall, the trade paperback. This came out in those big oversized DC Black Label books.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Three issues. It was absolutely amazing book. John Constantine literally hanging out with the devil and the devil ate his sandwich. That made me laugh. But yeah, this is just a solid Hellblazer story worth picking up. And I think it's been out in hardcover edition for a little while, but this will be the soft cover edition. Yeah. So
nice.
Time to pick that up. And then, my independent pick this week, as always, Saga number 58 will be out. So I'm always picking Saga. It's just like Joss with Daredevil. Hey, Daredevil's out. That's my pick. Nope. For me, Saga. Saga's out. That's my pick. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie pick?
Indie picks this week, IDW. I mean, these are both overdue fucking books, but IDW's got TMNT's The Last Ronin number 5, finishing The Last Ronin story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the last one. I would be delighted to tell you to pop down to your local comic book shop and buy issues 1 through 4, but I sold out over the last 2 months with people waiting to get number 5. Mm-hmm. And getting in copies of 1 through 4 is getting problematic because of the paper shortage. So we'll see what we can do with that. And then Berserker number 8 finally coming out. This one's actually as close to on time as they've been in the last 6 months.
it's frustrating. Doug and I were having a conversation about artists without deadlines and what happens and why it took him 7 years to do.
Yep.
Yumi. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really what it comes down to. But again, it's a great story. It's very well written. Matt Kent is knocking it out of the park. I don't know what Keanu Reeves does or doesn't do, but he, I'm assuming, is also holding a bat and knocking it out of the park. Mm-hmm. With Matt Kent. They're both really talented dudes. So if you want to know if you can catch up on that one, yes, I have back issues. Dear mm-hmm. God, do I have back issues? They have so many fucking covers for this book. And I got at least 10 of each of them. So you pop over to the shop and get caught up on Berserker, which is really quite good. How about you, Joss?
Nice. I am going to pick up the British Paranormal Society Time Out of Mind number 1. British Paranormal Society members Simon Bruttenholm and Honora Grant arrive at Noxton together, but with separate goals. Honora hopes to uncover information on the town's strange traditions, while Simon is searching for his missing assistant. But their separate investigations lead down the same twisted path that hides a dark secret behind Noxton's innocent facade. Now, this does expand the Hellboy universe, which is a universe that I literally only know from movies. I don't think I have ever read a Hellboy comic book in my entire life. But the premise is interesting, and I want to see if it's something I'm going to jump onto. So that's from Dark Horse, and I'm going to look for it.
Hellboy books are good. They're actually quite, Mike Mignolo does a bang up fucking job.
Yeah. People like them. I just never have picked one up. And so maybe I should try and do that as well. But I thought that sounded intriguing and I'm going to look for it. So there you go.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it for me this week. Anything else, kids?
I got nothing.
As always, we invite you to join us on the Patreon. Be part of our Patreon squad. Join the squad. Help us turn it into a platoon. That's what we're saying. This week, we're going to continue part 3 of our 10-part series of the greatest comic books and graphic novels of all time, talking about numbers 71 through 80 this week. So join us for that. As always, be cool like our good friend Doug. Be cool and shop the shows and pick up an awesome t-shirt from the two shows, the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast and The Left Show. Get both like Doug did. Be cool like him. Get both.
Doug is cool.
Yep.
Doug is super cool.
And I will say, as I always do, until he's the uncanny Captain America, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.